All right, here we are now with North Reading High School football coach Ed Blum. They are the state D5 champions in MIAA football. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO and congratulations.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Boy, there's so much to talk about here. Weather a factor, of course. You guys played on Friday night, right?
Yeah, we played on Friday, so luckily avoided the rain.
Okay, all right. But you're up against a hell of a football team in Shawshin, coached by, you know, a world-class coach. And going into the game after the Thanksgiving Day game, and I want to get to that in a minute, but what was kind of the feeling, the plan, the overall outlook heading in against Shawshin?
You know, it was they do a lot of good things offensively. They've got a good quarterback who's very composed and can make some plays with his feet as well as his arm. And then, obviously, with some of their receivers. And then, defensively, they challenge you a little bit with their 4-2 and, middle backers being up close. So it was trying to develop a game plan, to limit some of their explosive plays. You know, I'll be honest, the initial goal for sure was to try to limit number one receiving, and it more turned into kind of let number one do his thing and limit everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously didn't execute that perfectly, but it was a tough game to prepare for. They do a lot of things, and with that spread attack, with empty, with some of their different formations, there was just a lot to get ready for.
Well, they led by 14-7 late in the half, and talk about quarterbacks. Yeah, you got one who's not too shabby too. So tell me a little bit about that end of the first half.
Yeah, I mean that 2 minute drive. We've been fortunate, especially in the playoffs. We've now had a few kind of two-minute drives to score, whether a touchdown or a field goal, and that was big for just the confidence standpoint, And obviously, having a quarterback, Alex Carucci, second-year starter, senior, leading that and being composed and getting guys lined up and communicating is so big for us. He kind of did it all year, and for it to kind of show up on the biggest stage and be able to lead in those critical moments was awesome for us. And he's just an ultimate competitor, ultimate teammate and player. So just an awesome, awesome job to score with 4 seconds right there before the half.
Well, obviously he's surrounded by a complimentary cast who have, there's some stars outright in their own right. And able to connect with guys, to run the ground game. But wasn't Alex your leading ground gainer as well as passer, of course?
Yeah, I mean, him and Will Batten.
Oh, yeah, Will got a little more. Yep, I see it. Yep.
Yeah, both of them, I think, had around 150 yards rushing.
Yep.
Which was, again, nice kind of complimentary football in that regard. The O-line did a great job, particularly in the second half, opening up some great holes for them. And they were really keying Batten on some of the plays. And so to be able to use him as a distraction, mm-hmm. and allow Carucci to then run, just made it very dynamic for us in the second half.
What was the key to that? Was that an adjustment that you guys made on offense because you just pulled away from them in that second half?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of just number one, cleaning up some of the stuff up front. I think our linemen in the second half did a much better job of double teaming up to those middle backers. I think from a coaching standpoint, just some of the adjustments in terms of a little more inside runs to Batten on some traps and then hitting them with some quarterback counters and trying to catch them overplaying Will, kind of the two big adjustments, and we were able to hit for some big runs, which we were pumped about.
You've got a great record over your first 5 years, state championship. What was the mood like, the celebration like, underneath the stands there at Gillette after the game? And were some of your own people, North Reading folk, kids and stuff like that, were they able to be attending the post game celebration?
Yeah, I mean it was afterwards it was just incredible. I think to see all the parents, for me there's pictures and videos of just some of the faces of our kids and just the genuine happiness and excitement that they had. It was just so cool. I think it's one of those that as a coach, to be able to see and you put all that work in and you kind of demand a lot from the kids in terms of practice off season, how to behave in and out of school. And you kind of ask a lot from them. And this group, particularly the seniors, but, you know, now the younger guys as well, they've done it now for 2-3 years. And to be able to have them kind of celebrate it together under the bleachers and their families there, just all cheering, the excitement was just awesome. And then getting back to North Reading, the town really just, the support that they provided, you know, a nice little trip around town with police and fire trucks, and then pulling up to the high school and fans and parents just kind of lining up the door by the gym as we rolled up was a lot to take in, and at moments kind of put into context, although it's hard to imagine still what we accomplished, but it was an incredible experience. Well, the people who came out.
I talked to a bunch of Cape Henley coaches before the Super Bowls, and you know, everybody, once you're eliminated or once you don't make the tournament, you turn around and you want your league representative to win, and you get that support. But the thing, I was talking to Coach St. Pierre earlier, and one of his kids, a third string quarterback, had to go in and play, and he's quoted in, I think it's the Boston Globe, he said, "Oh my God, I go in the game and I look up, I'm playing at Gillette Stadium." And then he said, "And then I had to find a way to focus." But that's something that in the moment, you're on a football field, you play football, but it's something that these kids, and I hope you as well, you're going to look back on with more fondness as you get further away from it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's, I think, you know, rewatching the game a little bit, you know, just the background of the film, you know, absolutely when the game's going on, you kind of lose perspective. But then when the background of the film, you're rewatching it and you're like, "Oh my God, it's Gillette Stadium." You know, that's the background. That's the stand packed for, you know, with fans in it for us. And that's, you know, and it's especially this year with the Patriots playing Thursday night. So, you know, the field's painted with Pat the Patriot, just like the whole just setup of everything. Yeah, just watching that video, and I know watching in the future, it's going to be that moment of like, "Wow, man, like we were there, and
yep,
we were able to get it done."
Well, for us, we get to be in the pros for one day out of a year when we go to Gillette and broadcast from up there, and it's you know, as an old timer, man, I never get tired of it. It's just so cool that the Patriots would do this for high school football, and it's a unique venue and a unique setup, and it's, as I said, it's something the kids, not only the winning teams, but all the participants, they're going to look back on with great fondness, because to be a state runner-up is not too shabby either.
No, not at all, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the Crafts and the Patriots, they do it right. I mean, you look at all those, even at the start of the game, they play those videos that, you know, one player has to shout out the team, and, you know, Bob Kraft, obviously, you know, congratulating the teams making that far. So I think it's just so cool that you have such a great support from obviously the professional team in the state to provide that experience for everyone. I think there's obviously no better venue, and for anyone to argue otherwise or say it, I mean, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. You know, now this was one spectacular game sandwiched around Thanksgiving, I should say.
Yep.
And I want to go back to the Fenwick game, because we were there for that one. And great game, back and forth, a lot. I don't want to say mistakes, because people say unforced errors. There's no such thing as an unforced error in football. It's a collision sport. So it was interesting the way there were turnovers and both teams rebounded and so on. But holy cow, Ed, bring me back to that Matt Guidebeck kick, because I was getting a little upset. I'm saying, "Oh, I'm not going to come home at midnight. This is going to go to overtime." And there's no way you get the ball with, what, 33 seconds left. You're on your own 42-yard line, and Carucci just takes you right down the field in four plays. But it's still a 39-yard attempt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, number one, you know, credit to Matt Guidebeck. I mean, he's ever since he came in as a freshman, he focused so much on kicking, whether punting or kicking field goals, and so much time put into the offseason in terms of on his own, getting out there and kicking. You know, he's always the first kid out to practice working on his kicking, and so he always got that time in, and, you know, for him to kick, and we don't kick many field goals, and for him to kick that game-winning one as well as one in the Super Bowl, like the two most important games, and obviously the Fenwick one sending us to the Super Bowl. I mean, it just, all that work just paid off, and you could, it's awesome seeing him now in school, because you can see, like, he's so happy. Like, yeah, all that extra time was rewarded, and his teammates know it too. You know, it's one of those things that it's like, guys, like, this is what it looks like, and the biggest moment, and you're absolutely right. The emotional ups and downs from that game that then led to that was just, it was a roller coaster, and it was an unbelievable, it was an exhausting game from a player perspective and even from a coaching perspective. Man, Bishop Dunn was tough, and we were so lucky we had 38 seconds.
You had a great turnout in the near stands over at Manning because people just were screaming and yelling and hollering when that thing went through. It could have been a 50-yarder the way you kicked it, man. That was amazing.
Yeah, with some confidence.
I want to put take a quick look at putting the Linfield game in perspective. Not the Linfield game, excuse me. The Amesbury game in perspective, looking back, because that's in the middle of the season. You guys were on a run, and Amesbury, a real challenge and a great team this year in the CAL. What did that do in terms of focus for you guys and getting you back on track the next week against Newburyport and all the way to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Amesbury's kind of had our number the last couple of years, and I think number one from a team perspective, you know, we weren't, I think, thrilled with how we went into that game in terms of the mental approach. I think kids made a little bit too much bigger, and that impacted their play. At the same time, you know, there was certain opportunities. You know, I think that game came down to, you know, one or two more plays go our way, and it's a different score. You know, and one of the big plays was at the end of the half. They blocked a field goal, and you know, which again, now you're looking at the semifinals in the Super Bowl. You know, we changed personnel. You know, like our field goal team after that game kind of changed personnel. We kind of looked out how we were blocking it and just like making sure that if it ever came again, like we would actually be able to block it and limit potential damage, knowing how good of a kicker Guybeck is. Mm-hmm. And so I look back at that Amesbury, and it was just it kind of refocused everyone. It made us look at a little bit more of the details that obviously the last two in the bigger games, it can come down to that stuff. And I think it's just you always want to say things happen for a reason. You never know what that reason was, and I think that Amesbury loss really it happened for a reason, and for us to be able to then learn from it was awesome.
In the Fenwick game, was Alex the holder on the field goal?
Yeah, so Alex the holder and Teddy Sooney was the snapper.
Okay,
man, that operation was smooth as well. So
absolutely, I'll never forget that. That was incredible. It really was. Well, finally, Coach, celebration season, and then it the clock keeps ticking. You start in over again, but you know, for the seniors, it's a bittersweet moment at this time. They certainly want to celebrate. I know coaches don't have a lot of time to celebrate, but what's up in terms of that kind of thing in the next few weeks or so?
Yeah, you know, I think kind of just figuring out, you know, how to celebrate it and what certain things to do. I think we always give the kids kind of December off. A lot of them then play winter sports anyway, so they're really just focusing on their winter sports.
Mm-hmm.
But even the underclassmen coming back, it's just a lot of enjoy this experience. And like last year, we'll regroup in January. But it's just a lot of, you know, little things, whether it's, you know, figuring out, you know, what the rings look like. You know, do we do certain, you know, rewatch the game together as a team, stuff like that, where it's just getting back together, continuing just to enjoy the accomplishment and enjoy this group. And we obviously will have the banquet in January, which obviously will be a little bit, I think, different of an experience just because of, you know, this last game. So just little things that honestly bring us all back together and you know, keep enjoying it. But so many of us as coaches and as kids, we're in the school every day, and so just being able to see them and see how happy they are, and you know, it's so much fun.
Oh yeah, I wonder, before I let you go, Ed, I wonder if you would brag a little bit about some of your kids that maybe we haven't mentioned and your assistant coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's you know, the first starting with the line, you know, offense and defensively. You know, Anthony Pino, Teddy Sooney, Owen Delano, Zach Dimitri, Matteo Acuna, you know, Sam Morelli, just offensive line and middle linebacker, a defensive force for us. You know, our skill players, there are some guys on our team that I truly believe if they're on other teams, they'd be people's kind of number one option. You know, Ryan McGuire, Brandon Ng, Will Batten, Craig Rubino. We're just so fortunate. Matt Guybeck as well. We're so fortunate to have so many guys in space. And then the assistant coaches, I mean, you can't get through a season without those guys. You know, everyone, I don't think Foley always understands the time commitment coaches make. I mean, you know, it's a 7 days a week, constant communication. Again, not all the good. Sometimes it's tough conversations where you have to hold each other accountable and push each other. Sometimes it's fun and we're laughing. And, you know, that's, Chuck Campobasso, Eric Archambault, Matt Costello, Kyle Bythrow, Jim Brown, Jason Montrose, and Cam Williamson. Just an awesome group to have experienced all of this with. Last guy, Jeff Lane as well. So it's just, I'm so fortunate to have such a great staff. We have so much fun together. And then the kids, it was an awesome time. I hope I didn't miss anyone. I don't mean to.
I know. I'm sorry about throwing a curveball. I know you don't have the roster in front of you, but that is really cool. And it's got to be so good. And the final thought I have, and I mention this to every coach I talk with, is that as coaches and educators, you have these kids probably more than their parents do at certain times of the year. And you guide them, you teach them skills, you show them a life in a microcosm, and then in the end, they participate. Win, lose, or draw, you make sure that they have fun. But it's really extra, extra special when you end up on top. So, great job, Coach. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Rick.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. And I know that the celebrations are coming. And once again, Ed, it's been so much fun and such a blast. You be well and have a happy holiday season.
Thanks, Rick. You too. Oh, and one last player, Logan Scribner. Couldn't forget him. I knew I was forgetting one.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Ed. Be well. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. That is Ed Blum, who is the North Reading High School football coach. They are the D5 state champions. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.